Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is Wildlife Division Chief Jeb Williams. Today we're going to recap our fall hunting seasons. Jeb, most of our seasons are closed. Let's talk about waterfowl hunting first. How did things go this year for waterfowl hunting?
Well, they started off good, Mike, in the early summer, late spring when we do the waterfowl survey, and wetland conditions were good in most places across the state, and that usually correlates obviously to good duck production, and I think overall it did that, and we got into the fall, and as we all know, and we'll talk about as we go on with this discussion too, is the wet conditions that we had this fall, and that's good things for waterfowl. It's good things for our local waterfowl populations. Good thing for our for migrating waterfowl coming from the prairie provinces of Canada and having good places for those birds to be. But it also means there's lots of places for those birds to be. And as we all know, the timing issues related to waterfowl in North Dakota are critical to opportunities here, whether, you know, we get cold conditions, freeze up conditions, those different types of things that are really critical to the time those birds spend in our state. But overall, numbers and wetland conditions were very good this year for waterfowl.
Okay, let's move on to upland game. How about pheasants?
Yeah, it's hard to, when we talk about this fall and recapping this fall, it's just really hard to not talk about the weather when we're talking about these species and these opportunities. And pheasants are a good example. I mean, for a lot of people, a lot of information that we hear back from people, personal experience, where you're out hunting in places that you normally or have an expectation of having an opportunity at some pheasants, you had water. Maybe you were seeing more ducks than you were in pheasants in some of these real low-lying areas that typically hold pheasants, and this year holding a lot more water than pheasants. So it was a weird year. I think though that pheasant numbers were okay. I think really they kind of came to be just about what we said they were going to be. There's going to be some areas that were going to be pretty good numbers of pheasants, and there's going to be some areas that were not very good, and I think that kind of came to be. I don't think a lot has changed with pheasants over the last couple years. There are some good pockets of pheasants. There's some, if you put some effort into it, a person can go out there and have a good opportunity. I think where the opportunity is quite a bit different is the people that hunt in large groups. Mm-hmm. Is that opportunity out there, the struggle is quite a bit higher for those groups that are the bigger groups versus maybe the people that go out by themselves or two people that can find those birds. I think that's where the big difference has been, not only this year, but the last couple of years as well.
And our surveys indicated numbers went up just a little bit too.
They did. I mean, it was minimal, you know, mm-hmm. And so we talked about that, about how it was probably going to be pretty similar year to last year. And I think for the most part, that was probably pretty accurate.
From my experience out in the field, Jeb, it seems like there was more sharp-tailed grouse.
That's accurate. From our survey numbers, that was something that was shown this summer as well. Had about a 20% increase in survey numbers with sharp-tailed grouse, and that's, you know, from the drought of 2017, which does definitely have a pretty high impact on sharp-tailed grouse, is usually that 3 to 5 year period before they can work out of that. And so we're seeing that, but another positive as far as seeing some additional sharp-tailed grouse out on the landscape this fall, and I think your observations are accurate.
Okay, let's move on to our big game, more deer licenses this year.
Yeah, I lot of positives with our big game right now. I mean, obviously, a number of years ago, we were kind of down in the tank a little bit as far as numbers wise go, and public opportunities and just, you know, a lot of frustrations all around. And I'm not saying that we're lighting the world on fire as far as numbers and opportunities now, but we're going in the right direction for sure. And so this year was a good example with deer licenses. We've issued the highest number of licenses since 2011. And both mule deer and white-tailed deer numbers across the state are doing pretty well. Still seeing in the eastern part of the state those numbers lagging behind a little bit, and not seeing the recovery that we're seeing in other parts of the state. But still seeing some increases over there, which is a positive thing.
Jeb, how did the standing crops affect deer hunting this year?
Well, there were several challenges, no doubt, this year. And, you know, standing crops were one of them. There's no doubt that standing crop out there is a is a good source for holding deer during the day that they maybe normally would not be in. So it, from a visibility standpoint, hunting standpoint, it can put some challenges out there. However, we did hear at our advisory board meetings this fall, though, that people generally speaking had pretty good luck. However, they acknowledge that there's a lot of corn standing, those types of things. But I think one of the things that maybe even played a little bigger role this fall was the access issues as far as roads, muddy conditions, things like that. And I think for the most part, people were pretty respectful of the areas that they could not get to. I mean, the department tried to communicate that as best we possibly could, as that can get to be very frustrating for local landowners when you have hunters accessing section line roads and trails, things like that, that really have some struggles when it comes to wet conditions. And so a lot of people just didn't go to certain areas, and that, you know, that affects their access, obviously, on trying to maybe get to certain areas that they would normally be able to get to. And so just the combination of standing corn, access issues, things like that, did have an impact on people's ability to get to certain places this year and maybe what that opportunity looked like for them in the field.
Do you have any updates on the CWD testing results?
Yeah, so our testing results are in for the year, and the good news is we did not find any new CWD cases in any new deer hunting units. The new unit, deer hunting unit that we did find in earlier this year, which the public has already been notified about, is the Badlands Unit 4B. But during the deer gun season, we did not find any new units tested positive for that. We did have some positives down in 3F2 and then in the very northwest part of the state in 3A1 as well, but those are not new units. And so we feel good about that. Anytime we can, our goal with CWD, of course, is trying to minimize the spread of that and using the best science and the best tools out there to try to help minimize the spread. And so anytime we don't have additional units show up, we feel good about that.
And we record number of samples too.
Yeah, we had very good participation from people. We can't thank hunters enough for getting their deer tested. We know that they want to get their deer tested too, but that helps us as a agency trying to manage for that. Taxidermists have been a big help as far as providing samples to the department, meat lockers, different things like that. So lots of help out there to really help us try to manage this ugly disease the best we can.
Continuing on with our big game species, Jeb, we had more licenses available for moose, elk, and pronghorn.
We did, yeah. Some really good opportunities available for all three of those. I'll start with pronghorn, and for our pronghorn hunting units, we had 12 units open this year, which is as many as we've had since 2009. That's 2009 was the last year before we closed the season altogether in the state for about 4 years. And so about 1,300 licenses, which was 250 more than last year. So not a real huge increase in licenses, but definitely in the units, and we're really seeing those areas fill in as well. And so, yeah, some good opportunities available there. Moving on to moose, for the last 3 years, we've set put out a record number of licenses for moose, and we did that again this last year. Actually issued more moose licenses than we did elk licenses, which is not a common thing in North Dakota. But then moving to elk, we still had as many opportunities as we've had for elk hunters since 2011 in the state as well. So some good opportunities, and some good opportunities shaping up even for next year with the growing number of elk we're seeing in various parts of the state. So I think all things have been pretty positive there and are going to continue to be pretty positive as well.
Jeb, how about bighorn sheep?
We had another good year of bighorn sheep opportunities in North Dakota, which are, of course, very limited, but five licenses out there available. Over the last several years, just some really nice opportunity, really nice rams taken. Four different records set in the state over the last several years. And so just some really good management going on out there, which is resulting in some really nice mature sheep for the very few people that get really lucky and get selected for that opportunity.
One thing we should mention is moose, elk, and bighorn sheep are once-in-a-lifetime licenses, too.
Correct. Yeah, one of the things that is a really unique experience for anybody that gets that opportunity. And when we talk about elk and moose, your odds, of course, go up quite a bit if you are interested in the antlerless segment of that population, and to where you can get that opportunity to hunt a moose or an elk in North Dakota, your odds are quite a bit better by selecting that. But for bighorn sheep, it's the rams only, and it's a pretty tough draw. But for those individuals to get that opportunity, it's been a great experience.
Okay, how about fur bear opportunities?
Fur bear opportunities remain strong. The market is a little bit tough right now for the majority of things other than coyotes. Mm-hmm. But we still have a lot of coyote opportunities in the state. Still a very popular activity out there for both hunters and trappers. And so some really good opportunities out there for them, along with some really good prices with some coyotes as well.
Seems like we've had a lot of snow across the state, Jeb. How is this winter treating wildlife so far?
Well, there's certain parts of the state that obviously within the last week or so, there's been some pretty extensive snow conditions, blowing snow. One of the things that we have not had a lot of, which is a positive, is extreme cold conditions. But some of the challenges definitely are out there as far as snow impacts and the level of energy that it takes something getting from bedding areas to food sources, back and forth, those types of things. Burns a lot more energy, obviously, when they have a lot more snow to go through. But having said that, like I said, not having the extreme cold conditions has been a positive. And so we'll see what the rest of the winter brings. But in the western part of the state, haven't had much winter at all. Not much snow conditions out there, been pretty mild conditions. So really kind of a tale of two sides of the state right now.
A lot of great information, Jeb. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
To find out more information about hunting seasons in North Dakota, visit the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov.
For Wildlife Division Chief Jeb Williams and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.